The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word, your presence. Thank you especially for the opportunity to come to be here, to hear the things we're hearing, to feel the things we feel, to experience the things we experience, to be imparted the way we are imparted, to be filled the way we get filled every time we gather. We are sorry if we've taken all of this for granted, but we are grateful to you. Thank you for your manifest presence every time we gather. Thank you for never leaving us in any service doubting whether you are there or not. Thank you for always proving that you are here, showing us that you are here. Grateful to you, Lord Jesus, for this privilege, for this blessing. We're grateful. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We're grateful to you this evening in the name of Jesus. This evening we open up our hearts to you to receive much more revelation, much more understanding, and much more impartations that will change our lives forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Have your seat. Good evening. How are we doing? Hallelujah. I was excited to be able to hear God's word. Are you excited? You should be excited. Every time we have this opportunity, we must maximize it and never take it for granted. You know, from last year to this year, you know, last year ending to, you know, January, February, now getting to March, you know, having to visit different, schools and mentor a few persons there, teach people who are not primarily or who are not yet our church members, has really been eye-opening for me. And you realize that some of the things we share here and we discuss as though they are common things, as though they are, you know, they're just there. You know, we say them and all of us will say, yes. If you say it in some other places, they will almost stone you. Because those things are totally new. I get what I'm saying? You know, as simple as the fact that God wants to heal everyone. I made that statement in one of the schools we went to yesterday, how that God wants to heal everyone. And there was controversy. As simple as that. I get what I'm saying? You know, and you realize that that's why, you know, we mustn't take the things we are learning for granted. And because we think these things happen every time we come, that's revelation after revelation, let us not ever be tempted to think or assume that these things are common. Are you following me? They are not common. They are a special privilege that God has given us. I must celebrate these things every time. Are you following me? As simple as these things, as simple as that God has that God is a good God. As simple as, you know, God is merciful. Hallelujah. In the two schools we went to yesterday, we had different experiences. But one of the schools, one of them told me boldly that the reason why God is still keeping him alive is because he has not committed so much sin for God to kill him. That if he commits too much sin, that God will kill him. That's what I'm saying. Now that sounds very strange to you, right? But he believes all his heart. I said, because he was trying to say that God kills people. I said, okay, so why is he still alive? He said, because you've not committed a lot of sin. He said, yes. I said, so if you commit a lot of sin, God will kill you. He said, yes. I said, so people that die on time die because they've sinned too much. He said, yes. And, you know, and you see this is in different places. And of course, I had to both explain to him and to rebuke him at the same time. All of them happened. Because I was operating by the anointing of a teacher, and then I just sensed something that looked like a prophetic or an apostolic stuff drop on me. So I had to turn and rebuke him. I said, don't do that again. You're a self-righteous person. But I'm just saying, these things we think that are very normal are not normal. And so we must maximize every opportunity we have, because these things that are common among us are not common. Are you following me? And let me even digress to say, big digression, but if you are here in Enugu and you are taking your ministry seriously, you really want to go far with God, I'm going to give you a very big secret. Every time your pastor is on the move, move too. That's what the many of you that have not learned. For instance, I've never announced, but I expect many of you to be coming around for all these IMT meetings, SS meetings, UNEC meetings. You'll be coming around. It's one of the ways you are preparing yourself for ministry. I get what I'm saying. One of the trainings that a good son should have is being able to move with the father. Such that if we say we want to go and do a program at Gariki tomorrow, nobody has to invite you. You should carry yourself and attend. It does two or three things. Number one, it helps you. Of course, you're going to learn a thing or two from the meeting. Right? You're going to learn one or two things. Number two, apart from the things you are going to learn from what your pastor is teaching, you are privileged to learn by your observation. And then number three, those new persons that we are winning to the Lord in those places will be encouraged by all of us that have come around them. Are you what I'm talking about? Now, some places have been doing this, and I'm saying all these schools have been going to. But some of you are not. You learn it. Generally. Such that if tomorrow I say, we're traveling to Kenya, I'm not saying I'm an invited guest, but we're taking a meeting to Kenya. If God has blessed you to that financial capacity, prepare yourself and fly yourself to Kenya, attend the meeting and come back. That's a sign that you're growing. A man of God, so where did you learn that from? Look at the ministry of Jesus. Jesus never traveled alone. You know, I was saying that, was that on Saturday also? He never traveled alone. I don't know why God is bringing this emphasis again and again. I don't know what he's about to open us up to, but this is the second time I'm saying this, something like this in church now, in recent times. In Luke chapter 8, verse 1, we have a list of the entourage Jesus traveled with. Look at that entourage. After Jesus traveled and it came to pass afterward, that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And who are with him? But not just the 12. Next verse, the 12 are with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities and made. So, verse 3, of course, they were contributing of their resources. But basically, they were traveling with him. Go back to verse 1. Put up New Living Translation. They were traveling with him. Soon afterwards, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages. Yes, I love how it began a tour. But times are going to come where your pastor may start a tour. I get what I'm saying. So we want to do a crusade. They want to do that. Apply yourself. Bible said he was preaching and announcing good news about the kingdom of God. He took his 12 disciples with him. Okay. Continue. Along with some women he had healed. And from whom he had cast out evil spirits. In fact, if you go to Acts chapter 1. Go to Acts chapter 1. Let me just show you. I don't know why the Holy Ghost is bringing this emphasis very, very strongly. And I'm just going to flow with it. In Acts chapter 1. Now, this is not in any way connected to my teaching today, in any way. Or let's say God connects you somewhere along the line. But for now, it's not connected. In Acts chapter 1, when they were about to pick who was going to, replace Judas. In verse 15, the Bible said, in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, number of names together we are about what? 120. Now, hear what he said. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost spake by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and all of that. Now, you know the story he told. I'm going to verse 21. He said, wherefore, of these men, which have companied with us, all the time that the Lord just went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto same day that he was taken from us. Give me NLT of verse 21. Verse 21, New Living Translation. Because they were about to give the qualification of the guy that will replace Judas. So now we must choose a replacement for Judas from among the men who were with us the entire time we were traveling with the Lord Jesus Christ. So they picked people that were traveling around with them. So just never traveled alone, that's what I'm saying. Do you look at that? Do you see that verse? The people that were traveling that were in that entourage. Because by joining that entourage as it was going around, they must have seen different cases. They've seen the sick healed. They've seen people delivered. They've seen plenty. It's one of the training a son must have. Are you following me? Such that let me say this, that is why we announce those things in church here. Every Tuesday there will be this in so place. It's not just for you to hear it. If your pastor is going to be there, you should be there. Now learn I was saying it on Saturday, the partners conference. That's why God has to put money in your hands. And every time you want to make one of those trips, you don't need anybody to support you. You can actually make that trip on your own. Are you following me? Are you following what I'm saying now? Learn it. Many of you have been doing well there. Many of you have not been doing that. And it's not just a matter of rebuke, right? It's a matter of you just learning how to properly do ministry. Because some of you that have been going around with me for these few times, I've been going to all these schools, there are different experiences we've had. And in all those experiences, we must have picked a thing or two. For example, I was preaching yesterday, and someone from the crowd interrupted me. And it was okay. And you need to have seen how it was handled. I wasn't shaking. I didn't flinch. I just said, okay, what are you saying? I'll come to you much later. Some, I will answer. The experiences you cannot have in your room. Now, we are starting 2 days of feeling and answers and all of that. And maybe you did not fill the form. Let me teach you something. Now, I'm not inviting all of you, but let me teach you a very big thing. If you really want to go far with God and the miraculous and healing, whatever, perch around, hang around when those pieces are holding. Hang around. Some of the wisdom of God that God will give you as a minister. Who wants to take a meeting to IMT? Come. Don't say, am I yourself? Why am I going there? Be there. Be there. I get the point. Always be in the entourage. Always be there. Of course, sometimes I go to meetings and I don't allow people to travel with me. So if you just come in there, they want to come. I say, don't come. Stay in your house. But whenever that kind of permission is given, maximize it. Not doing that, you are missing possibly a major part of what God wants you to have. Again, let me even add, apart from what I've said, it gives the opportunity to serve with your man of God. And possibly to protect him if there is need for that. I get what I'm saying. You see what Peter did? The one that arrested Jesus, he picked up a knife and cut the guy's ear. Now trust me, if not that arresting Jesus was written in the agenda of God, they can't take Jesus from there. I get what I'm saying. They can't. Those 12 guys, before the fight is over, he has escaped. They can't take him from there. Because just never. Check out the Bible. The only time you see Jesus alone is that he went to pray. The only time. Go check your Bible. He always had people that moved around with him. And guess the people who carried the ministry after he had left. That entourage. Such that in Acts 1, when they wanted to pick a replacement for Judas, they said, we must now choose a replacement for Judas from among the men who were with us the entire time we were traveling with the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 22. That's why it has something about being available. Verse 22. He said, from the time he was baptized by John until the day he was taken from us. So the person must have been around from the door of baptism till the day he was taken. So it's also one that used to take permission. Sir, I want to go and eat. Sir, I want to go and... He said he must have been around. In other words, if you are not around throughout that period, you cannot qualify for this. No matter how anointed you are. It's not what I'm talking about at all. You have to learn it. Are you following me? You have to learn it. You learn to travel, you learn to move around. But you learn a number of things. You're even learning how this is done. And most importantly, it gives you an opportunity to serve. Such that if we say the Lord has led us, we want to take a special meeting to which place now, to Owerri or something, Don't think I'm just expecting myself and then some of them pastors. I mean, no. You should pack up your things and go too. Because, now look at the secret. Because you are serving under a man, I'm telling you a very big secret. Because you're serving under a man, God will rarely talk to you about a mission trip. Rarely. I get to the point. God will rarely walk up to you and say, carry your bag, relocate to China. God may not do that. I follow what I'm saying now. But then, in the instructions he's giving that man, make yourself available to also partake in the mission, because that's the whole idea of it. Because there are church members that will never have mission experience in their life, not because mission is not going on in their church, but they don't know how to align. There is a different case that we say, okay, we have a meeting going on somewhere, and we announce you should not attend. Because that day is also service here, or that somebody wanted to do for us. I get what I'm saying. But if none of such things is given, then you must go, you must learn. That when your pastor moves like that, you move. I told some people in my dad's church who will even go. Sometimes he's doing a meeting in England, so in Netherlands rather, that are coming from the UK. Sometimes he's doing a meeting in Scotland. I'm talking about two different countries. And I'm not talking about 3 days meeting. He's doing 1 day meeting. Meetings start from 10, end by 2. They will fly all the way to attend it. Some fly from the US to the UK to attend those meetings. That's not because they're too wealthy. It's because, you know, first of all, they're not even in the country first. So all the while, they have a pastor in their mind, then they're watching him virtually. And now he's just somewhere around. Maybe not too close. You have to fly there. Say amen. Yes. As a matter of fact, the major action, my dad said that to me one day. He said it openly. The major action that showed my dad I was serious as a son was because he was going for a meeting. He was to preach somewhere around the east. I've never seen him then. We were just chatting, talking on the phone. He was to preach somewhere, not east, south, as Port Harcourt. And then I heard he was coming, and I paid my own fare. Paid my own fare, went there, booked my own hotel, and joined his entourage to the meeting. Then he was talking to him, so he said, that was the day I knew that this one is serious. I feel what I'm saying. It's a privilege. After I asked him, I said, sir, please, I want to come. Let me come. Don't just say yes. It's not proposal. He said, well, it's okay. It's an open meeting. You can come. I said, okay. So, flew to that place, got my own hotel. And to show you, that stuff actually made me know that this guy is very serious. After I slept in the hotel I paid for, because I paid for one interesting hotel. A very, very interesting hotel. Very interesting. So after I slept there for the first night, but I was still there that night. He called me. He said, where are you? I said, I'm in my hotel room. He said, hotel room, where is it? I said, I don't know. I just booked somewhere. He said, don't worry. I paid for a room for you. So come and join me the next day. Actually. Because that was a mark to him that this one is serious. For a young boy who has not seen food to eat, to travel all the way from here, Port Harcourt, just to attend him, just to join him, go to the meeting. After he finished, we'll come back, go again, come back, go. That was it. And I stayed there almost throughout the whole week until he left. In fact, even when he was already done preaching, because he preached only on Monday and Tuesday in the meeting, you know, and by Wednesday to the rest of the week, he was no longer, but was still attending the meeting. I was still attending the meeting. Now, you must learn some of these things, you know, are basic ministry trainings. There are things that we can never write on the chalkboard for you. You have to be around to see them. So Peter said, if you've been with us from the day Jesus was baptized to the day he resurrected, then when he ascended, you must have witnessed experience. That is why, look at it, because the guys they were about to pick were to become the foundational apostles. One major qualification of foundational apostle, of course we don't have any now, but one major qualification they were going to have, that they must be eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses. Now, we are not eyewitnesses. You know, right? Did you see Jesus die? Did you see him crucified? Did you see him in all of that? We just heard. But they must, I imagine someone was destined to be in that team, but he was never around. Always jumping up and down. Always jumping up and down. Say, Bishop, Jesus is going to Galilee. He said, he should go now. They did give me transport money. So you look at this, that Luke 8 we saw, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. The women
We are not only using their money to transport themselves, they were even giving extra to support Jesus and his disciples that were traveling with them. So I want to say, and this actually, I don't know why God is bringing it, but it was not only men that traveled with Jesus in ministry. Are you aware? Look at this here very well. Women also traveled with him in ministry. Why were they not pronounced and recorded like that? Story for another day. And I'm going into something else that I don't want to go into today. Right? But it wasn't only men that went with him in ministry. Women also traveled with him when there is a meeting. So, you know, Jesus will never go alone. Lot of wisdom. Both for the minister and the ministry. Right? Lot of wisdom right there. One is that it's not wise for a pastor to travel alone or to move around alone. As a matter of fact, if you want to protect the calling of God and the integrity of your pastor, don't let him travel alone. I get what I'm saying? Don't let him travel alone. If he keeps traveling alone, that church might be the weapon fashioned against him. Yes. So I just had to do that introduction. I don't even know why God brought that. But then you take it very seriously. Okay, so straight to our teaching. Are you ready? The anointing and the anointed. Is that the topic? Do you remember this message? The anointing and the anointed was preached in 2020 January. Yes, I remember vividly. There's a reason I can't forget that message. One day I'm going to tell you. But not today. It's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. So, I will not do a recap. If I start doing a recap with everything I've said now, the whole message will be the recap. So, I want to address something. Can the anointing of God be transferred? Can the anointing in people, can we transfer anointing? Well, why we're looking at this closely is because one, the anointing, like we've answered, is the Holy Spirit. Remember that? So when we are transferring anointing, what are we doing? Are we moving Holy Ghost from one place to another? Is it that when it's transferred, you no longer have the Holy Spirit and all that? And so we're gonna look at this. Can the anointing be transferred? Well, basically, let me just simply, the answer is yes. The anointing. The anointing can be transferred from two things I'm going to say, from a person to people, and also from a person to things. So it's not just anointing from person to person. It can go from people or from persons to objects. But when the anointing of God is moving from a person to object, it doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is living in that object, because the Holy Spirit can only live in humans. It just means that the influence of the Spirit can be cast on a thing. The easiest way to explain this thing to you is electricity. Are you getting the point? Or maybe magnet. That you can keep a magnet in a place for so long, maybe over a metal, that you remove the magnet, you bring another metal, the magnetic field will still be operational around the, you know what I'm saying? So the anointing of God can be like that. Such that I can move the anointing from me to paper. It doesn't mean the Holy Ghost has entered the paper. It just means that the influence of the Spirit is still around that paper at that time. Are you what I'm saying? Now, and I'm saying this for, I'm going to explain a few things. So, you can move it from a person to things. It doesn't mean the Holy Ghost will live in those things, because the Holy Ghost can never live in a thing that is not the Holy Spirit, that is not man. The Spirit can only indwell man. The Spirit cannot indwell animals. It can't indwell objects. It can only live in man. But then, the influence of that Spirit, of the Holy Ghost, can still be operational on things. Now, we call that the anointing being transferred to those things. But when it has to do with anointing being transferred to man. It means that it doesn't mean you will collect my Holy Spirit. That's what it means. It just means that some of the graces that are at work in a person can be passed on to another person, such that even without praying or anything, that person will begin to flow in those things. And we're going to look at these two things majorly today. Are you following me? Let's start with the anointing of God, you know, transferring it to objects and all of that. Because already, I can show you many times in the Bible where the anointing of God was moved from a person to objects. One of the key ones is Acts chapter 19 and verse 11. Acts 19 and verse 11. Bible said, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body we are brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the spirits went from them. So they would take handkerchiefs and aprons from Paul's body and put it on the sick, and the sick will be healed. Now, what was healing people? In a sense, we can say the anointing of God was transferred to those aprons and handkerchiefs. Are you following what I'm saying? It's not as though the Holy Ghost now lives in those handkerchiefs. No. It's just because the anointed has touched those handkerchiefs. So, he has transferred the influence of the Spirit on those handkerchiefs, at least for a moment. The simplest way, again, is that magnet. Or even electricity. You know, if you know, it's possible that we could connect a wire to this place, and after we turn off the light, if you still touch that wire, it will still shock you somehow. You know, there's no more power passing through. It still retains some. What is it called in engineering? Huh? Engineers, who are they? Huh? What is charge? No one said it's charge. So everybody should know that's what he's saying. And it's nowhere that said it. Well, it just means that we can still transfer. So it doesn't mean that that stuff is existing in it, but there are things he may not be able to do. In fact, most times he can't even kill anybody. But then it means at least some electric charge is still operational on that object. So you find out with this apron and handkerchiefs, you know, in fact, you find out with Moses' rod. How that Moses used a rod, he used that rod upon the Red Sea, he divided. He used that rod and struck, you know, many things. He even struck Nile turned to blood. He struck a rock with that rod. Water began to flow. Are you following the point now? Now, that rock, in a sense, we can say that rod, okay, was, you know, carrying some anointing that was upon Moses. In fact, that rod was called in a play, I think it's in Exodus 4, it was called the rod of God. Are you getting the point? Because of how much Moses used that. That's Exodus chapter 4, verse glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ooh. Yes, verse 20. Exodus 4:20. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass. And he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. So we see that rod carried some stuffs, a measure, carried an anointing, you will see. But it doesn't mean that the Holy Ghost was living upon that rod. It just means that the influence of the anointing working upon Moses was cast on that rod. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Now, we can go over, I can show you more and more. Even Jesus used such things at a time. In John chapter 9, verse 6, you know, we read about how that he wanted to pray for a blind man, and he had to spit on the ground and mixed that spit with sand and rubbed it on the man's eyes, and the man began to see. The man began to see. So, does it mean that there's anointing inside sand or spit? No. The point is, at that moment, an influence has been cast upon that sand. It was no more ordinary sand, at least at that time. Are you following me? We find, and this is actually what happens with oil, anointing oil, where people can, you know, use an oil. And that's why I want to take time to explain to you, because there is a way to handle and interact with objects, or transferring anointing to an object. There's a way to interact with it. People have gone to the extreme with these things and they've messed things up. One of the things you must be very careful for in Bible teaching or in Bible practice are extremes. Be careful for extremes. Brother Hagin will always teach that you should stand in the middle of the road. Be careful for extremes. Because people have taken this simple thing I explained to you now and they've turned it to something else. Some can't travel now without olive oil. Everywhere they're going. I'm going to explain those things today. So something is happening, they pull out the olive oil. Somebody wants to die, they pull out the olive oil. Some can't travel without handkerchief, or should we say mantle. Some can't travel without those things. So everywhere they are just carrying it. And in fact, some are now selling those things. Now, I'm not against selling handkerchief. You want to sell handkerchief in your church. But don't sell it as mantle. And look at where there's a problem. If the master selling it as mantle, it can't be sold 100 naira or 200 naira. It has to be sold a quality price. Because it's mantle. Are you following me? You know what I'm saying, right? Glory to God. Mantle. Now, I'm not saying these things can't happen, but I'm going to show you how to use them. The limitations around using these things. When not to use this, how to interact with these things. Because it's good that as I'm teaching on the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and I also address this matter. Because we've done a lot of things with these things. Now, so I've shown you already in the Bible that the anointing can actually be transferred to objects, inanimate objects. In fact, there was a particular case where the anointing, I think that's Second Kings 13 rather, where the anointing of God that was upon Elisha was so much that many years after Elisha had died, 2 Kings 13 verse 21, they came to keep a dead body in Elisha's tomb. Elisha's tomb by that time was just bones. That's 2 Kings, not 2 Chronicles. So. Just bones all over the place. And they came to keep the dead body in that grave, and then immediately that dead body touched the bones of Elijah, the dead body came back to life. A dead man. Just bones. There were still some particles of the anointing. I get the point. So I'm not against that the anointing can be transferred to things. In this case, even a dead bone was carrying it. But there is wisdom on how to interact with the anointing when it is moved, when it is transferred to things. Let me explain, for instance. Let me start with something like maybe oil now. What we've called anointing oil. Now, I don't have, there are many things I've done on this oil thing, so I'm not going to go into all the exegesis involved. But just know that in the Old Testament, the oil was used to consecrate people. In the Old Testament, used to anoint people and all of that. But don't forget what I'm going to say now. The oil was used in the Old Testament as a symbol of the Spirit. As a symbol of the anointing. The anointing is the Spirit. It was used as a symbol of the Spirit. So when it was time to consecrate or to anoint the priest, the oil was used. In Exodus chapter 40 and verse 9, oil was used to consecrate the priest. In Exodus 29 and verse 7, the oil was used again. When it was time to, you know, anoint Saul as king. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, the oil was poured on him. When it was time to anoint David as king, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, the oil was poured on him. So that oil was poured on them throughout the Old Testament, but it was a symbol. It was to represent how that the Holy Ghost was resting on them.
how that an anointing was now resting on them. Now, why did I say that? By the time you get to the New Testament, from the four Gospels to the Epistles, you will not see Jesus minister to anybody with oil. You will not see anybody pour oil on Jesus. Yet Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. You will not see Jesus pour oil on his disciples. Is someone following me? But they did it a lot in the Old Testament because they were using it as a symbol. There were many things they used as symbols in the Old Testament. For instance, perfect example, they brought lamb for Passover. You remember, right? And they would kill the lamb and sacrifice the lamb. What was that lamb? That lamb was a symbol of Jesus that will be sacrificed for us. So do we have to keep killing lambs now? No. Why? Jesus has sacrificed for us. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? Many things were used as symbols in the Old Testament. So there was burnt offering. It was a symbol too. There was sin offering. It was a symbol too. There was Passover. All of these were symbolic. We call them shadows. They were representing what was to come. So the reason we don't slaughter lambs now is because those lambs are being slaughtered pointing to the real lamb that will come. And that lamb now is the lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. That is Jesus. He has not been sacrificed for us, so we can't keep slaughtering lamb. That same way, the oil in the Old Testament was used to illustrate how the Holy Ghost will rest, how the anointing will rest upon people. And that's why when Jesus came, you never saw that. You will not see that. As a matter of fact, in the whole New Testament writing, now by New Testament writing, I mean even if you include the four Gospels, you will find only two places the anointing oil was used. One, it was used. The other place, it was mentioned. The first of them will be when Jesus sent the disciples to go and pray. He sent them to go and pray for the sick, and they went with oil. They went with oil. That's Mark chapter 6 and verse 13. Give me that on the screen. Mark 6 and verse 13. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. That's the first one. The second one is in James chapter 5 and verse 13, where the Bible said, is any of you sick? Let him pray. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15 now said, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And so these are the only two places, check your Bible, that you find oil. So the first one, now there are a lot of arguments around these verses, and I don't want to go into it. One of the strongest arguments is the fact that the word used for anoint in these two places was the word aleifo. Do you remember aleifo that we looked on the first day we started this series? Aleifo means to rub. So they were to rub the oil on those people. Many people believe that it was for medicinal purpose. So that what James was teaching here is that you can combine, you can be taking drugs while we minister to you. But then do not forget that what will heal the sick will not be the drugs or the oil we are putting on you. It is what? The prayer of faith. But whether you agree with this explanation or not, the important thing is the prayer of faith is what heals people. The important thing is Jesus, our Lord, never prayed for anybody with oil. He met different kind of sick people. He never used it. When he wanted to commission his disciples, the first time he came to them, Bible said he told them, receive the Holy Ghost. He breathed on them. He didn't use oil on them. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came. Fire was on their head. It wasn't oil. It's one fellow I'm talking about now. And even the places where we see oil being used, like here and in Mark chapter 6, it was still prayer that healed people. So, what are we saying? Do I have anything against using anointing oil or whatever in their church? No, I don't. But there is a problem. The problem will be making a doctrine out of oil. Because why can't you make a doctrine out of it? Anything you did not find
practiced in the book of Acts, taught in the epistles, practiced by our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't make a doctrine out of it. Are you following what I'm saying now? You can't. So is there anything wrong with using oil? No, but you can't make a doctrine out of it. These objects, including oil, were used, right? They were used, first of all, either they were used, there are two majorities why oil and objects were used. I'm going to show you more now in the Bible. Even in the Old Testament, two major reasons. One was to help the faith of the people. So can I use oil to pray for people? Yes. There are people that their faith needs to be helped, so you can use oil to minister to them. Someone that is sick. The second reason you can use that oil is maybe because there is a special instruction from God to do that, which will not be often. For instance, look at the ministry of Paul. Paul used aprons and handkerchiefs to minister to people. But did you observe? It wasn't even Paul that took the handkerchief to them. Bible said they took aprons from his body. Look at that. Acts 19:11. They took from his body. So he didn't open a ministry and say, we are doing handkerchief service, apron service, mantle service. No. Because the problem is when you make a doctrine out of these things. Are you following me? And then, most times when you make a doctrine out of these things, let me tell you what it's going to produce. Most times it produces a merchandise of the gospel. I've ministered to people here, some of you are witnesses, and I can carry my suit and I say, anybody that touches this suit will fall down. Have you ever experienced that in this place? Anybody, if you touch it, you're going to collapse. And people come, they touch it, they collapse. That can happen. I can want to minister to people and the Holy Ghost. Sometimes I want to impart people. I've seen it happens a few times. And the Lord said, just call him, put your suit over him. I thought the person just goes under that anointing and gets heavily imparted. Now, that can happen. I just use suit to minister to him. I cannot possibly create a doctrine out of that. Suit service. I can't do that. I get what I'm saying now. And that's where there's a problem. So, two reasons I just mentioned why you see those objects used or why you can use them is one, maybe because God has allowed you to use it to help people's faith. Or maybe because there's a special instruction. So Jesus mixed sand and whatever to cure people's eyes. But he did that only once in his ministry. Only once. Every person will put us on them. And notice also, I have to clarify this. Notice also, Jesus used sand and spittle. So Jesus himself never used olive oil to minister to anybody. Now, the way we've made a doctrine around olive oil, it makes it look like olive oil grows in heaven. And then once you use it, you are fine. Let me explain again, like I always do. Olive oil is just yet another kind of oil. Just there is olive oil, granite oil, vegetable oil, palm oil, normal. As a matter of fact, if you go to Israel, they use olive oil to cook. As a matter of fact, if you cook with olive oil, it's very medicinal and very nutritious. So try it. It's awful what I'm saying now. So why did we make a doctrine out of it? Because, of course, in the Bible, it was olive oil that was used. Why was it olive oil used? Because they didn't have palm tree. Do you hear what I'm saying now? What was used? And even if they had palm tree, they were using, I'm just trying to show you that you can't make a doctrine out of this because that's a problem. I've even seen people have different prices for oil, for olive oil. Say, this one is from Israel direct. This one is from Canaan. This one is from Afghanistan. This one is from... Let me say something to you. One of the things that God will do for you has to deliver you from looking at things to looking at him. Because the problem is that once we begin to preach around those objects, we are going to make a doctrine out of them, and then the focus will shift from the power that dwells in us. We will shift from the power in the name of Jesus and the spirit that indwells us. It will now shift to those things. Such that your son falls sick. Instead of lay hands in the name of Jesus, you foul devil, leave my child alone. You say, wait, that's oil. You know. Because somehow, that's where the power is. That's why one of the things I do, basically, even if I ever use oil to pray for someone, ever, it's been long I did that. If I ever do that, I promise you I'm going to finish that oil. Did you hear what I said? Do you know why? Because if I don't finish the oil, it will become another idol in his house. Imagine I use the oil and I pour on you, and maybe someone that was crippled starts walking. And even if that knowledge you have, if you touch that oil, I'll give it to your house. Nobody comes near. And before you know, people make an idol out of these things. Such that if there is now a need to demonstrate the power of God, we go for that thing. You know, it works for people. It works for them. I just told you it helps their faith. But the problem is that it doesn't train them in the supernatural for it to help their faith. Are you what I'm talking about here now? So I can go for an outside meeting. If I go to a church tomorrow and I'm invited to preach and they pray with oil, I'm going to pray with oil. Yeah. I'm going to do that. I have nothing against it. I get what I'm saying. I have nothing. I'm just going to use it. Pour on them and they'll be fine. But I'm just saying, we can, even though the anointing can be transferred to things, these things were not things that were very common with the apostles. It wasn't common practice. It was things that happened a few times. You can't do the doctrine. There are a lot of crazy things going on in Christianity today in the name of ministry. Everything is prophetic item. Bring palm frond, prophetic item. Bring ash, prophetic item. Bring sand, prophetic item. Bring salt. Bring soap. What is wrong with all of you? And we are going gradually towards idolatry. Let me make it very clear to you. It's not very hard to become an idol worshiper. It's not hard. You can be an idol worshiper in the name of the Lord. It's not hard. So someone comes to church and says, I want to find husband. All the men that have been coming to me, they don't come close. And I say, okay, just wait for me. And I go and I bring out soup. And I carry the soup. Deception. Take it. Bath 2 times every day. I'm just telling you, that is, you are gradually getting there. Idolatry. So the person is using the soap to bath. So that what will happen? So that he'll be able to attract. What are you trying to achieve if you're a genuine man of God? You're trying to achieve that the favor of God will rest upon that sister. So that when people see her, they will favor her. And perhaps if there was any evil spirit that hovers around her, that repels good people from her, that evil spirit would get out from her presence. That's as simple as that. Use the name of Jesus. I get the point. But you know why people do these things? Because people believe them. Trust me, if another person goes to my office and says, sir, I want to get married, and I say in the name of Jesus, your husband, they say, it's done. Go home. They will not take me serious. But if I bring out my powder, Holy Ghost powder, everything I'm going out, rub it. If you rub it, shout Jesus 3 times. No. I believe the anointing can be transferred to things. But please do not make a doctrine out of it. If not you yourself that is practicing that, you are going gradually towards idol worship. And most importantly, you will not be able to have results with the supernatural because you keep trusting on items. I went for a crusade, and because I've experienced, I'm telling you firsthand. I don't know who taught me this thing earlier before I even began to read the Bible. Went to a crusade, I can't forget Reverend Dr. Maokbai. He told us on the last day to buy white handkerchiefs. And he told us in that meeting that initially he used to bring white handkerchief. But then they began to say that he used to put something like handkerchiefs. Now say we should buy it by ourselves for income. Why coming? Powerful. But that day, why handkerchief sold? Around that place, handkerchief, everybody was buying. Some bought 5. When the time came, He said we should all lift up our handkerchief. We lifted it up. He lifted it up and he said, in the name of Jesus, Father, let your spirit, rest on that handkerchief. And he told some, so he said, if you use it on anything, it's going to work. And truthfully, I went home and there was this, my game, my video game, Sega to be precise. Did you play Sega? You play Sega, B? Sega is one of the most foolish games on it. In Sega, you can pocket the ball. Like, you can pocket the ball and run, score goal, and come and release the ball. No, play Sega then. And so my Sega adapter was bad. So I came back. All my siblings are witnesses to this, I'm telling you. And I put the handkerchief on that particular Sega adapter and said, Father, your servant said if he prays this will work. And I removed it and I plugged it. It began to work. Now, I don't know. Thank God for the wisdom of God. Because if it was you, you can hang it in your room. That's the thing. But look at what came to my mind immediately. I said, now this is what I said. I attended this. I prayed that day like a mad person. I felt bad. I said, I attended this crusade for 3 days. This handkerchief came with me only one night. And now it has fixed the spoilt adapter. And I've been going here. So I put this. I'm not saying everything is right. I'm just telling you what I did. As a small boy then, I put the handkerchief on my head. I said, Father, everything that this one of God put in this handkerchief, let it enter my life. After praying that, I burnt that handkerchief. Yes. And thank God I did that. If not, we would have met the handkerchief today. That crusade was 2006. You would have met the handkerchief today, 2025. That's 19 years after. You would have met it. And is it 19? And the problem is, I would not have made progress in spiritual demonstrations. I'll just rely on that stuff. I get what I'm talking about. You want to make progress with the anointing, even if God instructs you to use an object. I do that sometimes. So the fact that you see God said, I've gone to pray for someone, because I'm talking to both the minister and people receiving the ministry. Even the minister must be very careful that I don't make a doctrine out of this. I've gone to pray for someone, I've used water, I've used different things, but I can't make a doctrine out of it. And you too. Even if you go to a meeting and you are giving a mantle, you are giving whatever, please and please. Because sometimes we say those things, and I tell you sincerely, it's to make money. Sometimes. Sometimes. I get what I'm saying now. Sometimes. So do I believe that I can give you a handkerchief and you put it on your head and they shoot you and it won't enter? I believe it with my heart. If I give my handkerchief, they shoot you to not enter you. Now, I believe it. But do I also believe that I can teach you and you speak God's word over your life and bullets won't enter you? I believe that one too. Which one is better? That a believer is relying on objects, or that he is taught to wield the power of God by himself? Is what following me this evening? So you must learn. And so we must be careful how we interact around these objects. Of course, I can show you many more examples in the Bible of people that used objects, but I just used oil as a big example. It is the name of Jesus that heals, and that should be enough. Are you following me? It's the name of Jesus that heals. There are many things in the Bible. This happened a couple of times, especially in the Old Testament. Because this mantle thing I'm saying now, it has become a big deal in our generation. And while I have nothing wrong with the pastors practicing this, if they received it as an instruction from God, I have nothing wrong with what they're doing. However, it must be taught well to make sure that we don't build stuff around it. Now, sometimes I've finished a meeting here. Now, I've gone for a meeting. I'm telling you, that's why I said we must not get to any extreme. I've gone for a meeting, and after the man of God ministered in that meeting, I had a leading in my heart to go pick up his handkerchief and to pray with it. And I did that. I picked the handkerchief. I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, because I believe that the anointing can be transferred to things. Are you following what I'm saying now? After I prayed, I dropped it and I left.
I told about the man of God that, you know, it was Bishop Edepo, that heard that Kenneth Copeland left this hotel room. He went and laid on that same bed and prayed and prayed. After he prayed, he believed that a part of the anointing was operation in that room. He prayed that night. He even had encounters with God and all that. And he left. The problem would have been relocating his ministry to that room. I get what I'm saying. Or buying that bed. Telling the hotel how much they said this bed. And what can I go out? When I prayed here on this bed one night, I had vision. So I think if I buy it and take it home, and before you know, we have created something. So from all over the world, people will be trying to come and lie on the bed. I get what I'm saying. And let me even say something. I don't know why, and of course, you know, I'm not a trend person. I don't preach according to trend. But whenever anything drops in my heart, I'm going to do it. Please be careful around all this. People are wearing shawl, white and black shawl on their neck that are praying. Do you people know what I'm saying? It's the trendy thing now. What do they call it? Prayer shawl. I won't say more than that. Be careful. You've seen those videos. You've seen each of white and black, and they call on. Oh, you see it. What is the shawl? Those things were used in Israel. I think the Jews laugh at us when we try to mix Christianity and Judaism. They laugh at us because we don't even know how to do Judaism. Do you know what they did with those shawls those days? They prayed with it. They covered their head. Even the Jews, men even covered their head to pray in Israel. Okay, now you know. So they use it to cover their head. So why are you people buying it? What are you doing with it? You want to cover your head. And that's the problem. We are claiming to be Pentecostals. That women should not tie scarf. We have all agreed with that one. You put them to buy. Where to bring each half for men. What is wrong with you? I thought you said we should not be tying anything on our head. That Jesus accepts all of us. Now what was this one now? Now, I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just talking to my church people. Are you my church person? I'm talking to you. So I don't have anything against anybody. I'm saying be careful. Some hang prayer shawls around their church. Some priest on their stage when they're preaching. What the hell? What is wrong with all of you? We just want to... We don't ever want to move away from objects. God wants to take us away from objects, from shadows, and let us meet the substance, which is Christ. So we have been filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, if God ever leads me to use that prayer shawl to pray for someone, you bet I'm going to do it. I will do it. I have nothing against it. But to now make it a doctrine in my church, that every time you come, you tie it on your waist. I believe God is going to use many of you mightily. And you better understand how these things operate. Because if the way we are going, you know, the apostles, the prophets of old didn't only use oil, they used many other things. Let me give you, for instance, one or two examples. They used flour. Is it flour they call it? Flour. Okay. They used that thing you just said. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 38. 2 Kings 4 and verse 38. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a death in the land. Please give me like NLT so you understand what it's saying. Simpler translation. Are you there now? You leave a translation. He said, verse 38. Elisha now returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. One day, as the group of prophets was seated before him, he said to his servant, "Put a large pot on the fire and make some stew for the rest of the group." So they wanted to cook. And one of the young men went out into the field to gather herbs and came back with a pocket full of wild gourds. And he shredded them and put them in the pot without knowing that they were poisonous. And some of the stew was served to the men. But after they had eaten a bite or two, they cried out, "Man of God, there is poison in this stew."
So they will not eat it. So they ate a bite or two. So they refused to eat it. Now, but look at what happened in verse 41. Elisha said, bring me some flour. Then he threw it into the pot and said, now it's all right. Go ahead and eat. And then he did not harm them. I get the point now. Now, Elisha, after this meeting, even in the Testament, did not open a flour company. Onebu poison. Onebu poison. Go this flour. Oh, imagine that. Well, that was what I was trying to do in ministry. So God can lead you. Imagine Elisha did that. Just told all those group of prophets, business, sharp, sharp. Package it. 1,000. Just a drop in your soup, no more poison. And you know, there was famine in the land. So it was normal to gather even poisonous leaves to cook. So at least, any poisonous leaf you gather, gorogwa. Eat in here, 2 spoons, no more poison. Let me tell you, did God move through Elisha? Yes. Did God instruct him to use the flour? Now, why did he request for flour? That's to tell you, this was a divine instruction for that moment. Just that, he said, bring me flour. And they brought it, and then, to that time, an axe head fell into the water. And he cut a branch of the tree, threw the branch into the water, the axe head began to float. Now, that doesn't call for wood service. So you have to be very careful that we are not moving away from Christ and we are turning to things, turning to objects, and we gradually become idol worshippers. Now, you know, I can say something freely here. I don't talk about churches, but let me talk about this. Many Pentecostals left the Catholic Church. And they left the Catholic Church because, and you ask them, they will tell you, they are bowing down to idols. They are praying with chaplets. They are praying, bowing down to stuffs. Now, you know the problem? That is the same thing the Pentecostals are now doing in the name of spiritual items. So, are you going to know what I'm talking about? There is no difference. In the name of spiritual items, in the name of this, in the name of that, we don't bow, we don't pray with chaplets, but we pray with handkerchief. We pray with mantle. Just the same thing. If there's an instruction from God to use anything, let's use it. But you cannot make Christianity look like a joke. Don't make this place look like a shrine. But it's only in shrines that you always bring this. You cannot go to a shrine and come back with word of faith. Have you observed? Do you get what I said? You don't go to a shrine and return back with a promise. Don't worry, it's done. They must give you something to do. Take this. And that's how many churches are now. You can't go there and come out with, pastor said it's done. No. You must go with something. Don't you think so? Oboro oil, oboro salt, oboro anything to use. That's something I've not seen. Called for family prayer somewhere, and a man of God said, as I'm coming, buy, I see 7, I'll be 14 brooms. Broom. And they bought all the brooms. And when it was time, he said, we're going to use this broom and sweep demons away from this house. And all the family went into sweeping. Everybody was sweeping. I'm just imagining if somebody is passing. And she's those people sweeping. Do you know why I'm happy I can say this is freely? You know what I'm saying freely? I'm anointed. Now, if I wasn't anointed for miracles, someone would have said, he's saying it because he cannot do it. Well, you know I can do it. And you know I do it. I cast out devils. Right? I change people's fortune by the anointing. I own it with pride. So I'm not saying it because I cannot do it. I can do it. And I'm saying that model is not New Testament. It's not New Testament. Because if it was maybe someone that just teaches the word and goes, they will say, it's because you cannot do it. The man of God are jealous. They are jealous in other people because I can do it. If you are hearing this message now, I do miracle. Too much. I create new kidneys, new liver, expel cancer, open blind eyes, deaf ears, all by the power of God. So I'm not saying it because God has not anointed me. I'm saying, as you are doing these things, man of God, you should always also be thinking about the spiritual growth of your people. Because if you build all their lives around objects and things, they cannot grow. They've not learned how to pray. They've not learned how to release the power of God. They've just learned how to sprinkle oil, sprinkle water, sprinkle this, use handkerchief, use bread, use soap, use coconuts. That's all they've learned. So Elijah used flour. But that was all. Elijah once used this mantle. What is mantle again? A cloak that fell from Elijah. He struck the waters with it and it divided. But that was it. And need I tell you, and this is where I have a problem with people. Most of the things you see the Israelites use, the prophets use, they were part of their everyday usage. For instance, that cloak that Elijah was wearing was part of his clothes. Just like I wore this thing and I now put it on top of it. There was nothing spiritual about it. Just that at that moment. Do you know what I'm saying now? So when you see Elijah carrying, wearing that cloak, he wasn't wearing it. In fact, when I studied on some of those things, those cloaks were used to cover cold. Just like a wearing sweater. I get what I'm saying now. So he just pulled it and used to divide the sea. Elijah saw the same thing and collected and divided the sea. But that was the only time he ever used that cloak throughout his ministry. Go check his ministry. That was the only time. He never used it again. I get what I'm saying now. I can sit on this seat and tell that if you sit here, the power of God will hit you and you dare not sit. If you sit, you cannot stand up. I've pinned someone on the seat. I said, you cannot stand up from that seat. Who has seen me do this? So you cannot stand up and I can keep you there for 30 minutes, 1 hour. If you stand, you can't try. The seat will come to your buttocks. It's called anointing. Yes, I'm anointed to do that. So I know I like sharing this so you know that I'm anointed. Do you understand the point? Because whenever, you know, it's just like when a poor man is teaching on how not to spend wastefully. They will say it's because he doesn't have it. Do you understand? So now I'm teaching you on how to use anointing because I have it. Or I have him. All by divine privilege. You get the point? All by divine privilege. Not because we've done too much. Because God in his mercy anointed us for that. So I'm teaching you because it's something I've handled. And I keep handling. And by God's grace, I'll keep handling until Jesus comes. So I'm saying all of this to say, Elijah used flour, but he didn't create a flour ministry. How that if you want to expel poison, just buy flour. Because a man of God can read this verse now and build an entire doctrine from this verse. That anybody that is poison, go and bring flour, let's use it. I get the point. So Jesus used sand and spittle and all of that, but they all used them for that moment and that was all there was to it. Is someone following me? Now, and this message is not against any minister or any ministry. This message is for you, the believer, who is growing and learning how to use the anointing of God. The problem is this. Those ministers that give you handkerchiefs and use them and it works for you, go to their personal life. Those men know how to pray. They know how to, I get to the point, they know how to conduct the power of God. They are just worried that you might not be mature enough to learn. So they just give you those so they can be using it for the meantime. And I tell you, every genuine minister that does those things, that will do those things, is hoping that one day you will grow. Are you following what I'm saying now? They're hoping that one day you will outgrow those things. Outgrow water. Outgrow sand. Outgrow soap. Unless the Lord instructs you to use it. Well, I've gone to minister to someone, and I've shared this many times, all over her body from head to toe, she had boils all over her body. I don't know what is boiled, but then she had things on her body from head to toe. And the Lord led me
And by the time we came in, because we were doing evangelism, so we got to the place, saw her, and she was going to go and have a bath. I said, I want to pray for you. So I prayed for her, and I said, get me a cup of water. They got me a cup of water, and I poured that water into the water she was going to use to bath. I said, go bath and come out. She came out clean. Dramatically. This happened in Benue State. These miracles gave us that land. Like, totally. You know, missions, is it? You know, I was saying before, try and go for mission. If you have opportunity, go for missions. You will see miracles you've never seen. We will go to villages to do crusade without poster, without handbill, without anything. By that particular community, we had 1 week to spend there. We had 1 week to plant a church in that community and come back. Because it was a 1 month mission. So it was a church, an Anglican church that brought us for the mission. So we did the first 1 week in the main church, the main parish church. The next week, we went to another community, planted a church. The next week, we went to another community, planted a church. The next week, and I came back to the parish and all of that. I need a general meeting for everybody. So we had one week in these villages to plant churches there. And boy, we succeeded. Sometimes with over 200 members. To what helped us anyway, those communities, some of them had no single church. And not even any kind of church, not even diabolic church, no single church. And then we'll come into those places and just look at everywhere. And I know if we start going one house and say we want to start church, will you come? They won't come. So all we did was God led us work some 2 major miracles. This one I just shared with you now, the guy that had, lady that has skin, whatever, all over her body, and then that madness thing I used to gist you guys about. Yeah, remember that story? If you are following my message, I will not tell the story today, but you will hear it very soon. Because I must tell you this. That story, it marked the turnaround in my ministry. Where people can just go mad. And they start misbehaving. They can misbehave for some time, and they get themselves and become normal again. So when they told me about the problem, I said, is there anybody that has that problem now? That is currently under that siege? He said, yes, I will take you there. So they took us there. I'm talking about oil and water. When we got into that place, the lady was sleeping. Now, the point is, they told us many stories how this priest came to pray and they beat him up. How that? Imagine when they give you all those stories when you are coming. So, we entered. She was sleeping. And glory to God, she was sleeping. So, we started praying. She was still sleeping. We were praying. She was still sleeping. So, we prayed and prayed after we prayed. And I said, do you guys have oil? They said, no. I said, do you have water? They said, yes. So I used water. And dropped it on that girl and she woke up. She woke up like an angry lion. And came at me. Glory to God. If I was relying on water, I would say, Jesus, Jesus. Just imagine that. Imagine I carry water. But Jesus, Jesus. And that's the problem. Some of you Nigerian people have deceived you. You want to pray. Are you using Bible? Fire! You and that's your Bible, we call it. You've not seen demon. Like using water. Jesus, fire, fire. Oh. And then she jumped and was coming like that. I said, I want just drop back. And she dropped back immediately. And, you know, when that kind of thing happens, your confidence level will rise from 30 to about 100. So I quit going to know first. So when she dropped back, and now I'm getting my confidence, I walked around. Oh, I love the power of the Holy Ghost. So when she dropped back, I said, in the name of Jesus, speak, and she was healed. But that's just one part of the story. Even though the rabbis are me. Because by the time we came for the crusade at night, they lined up close to 10 girls that had the same problem in front. But I said, in Jesus' name, all of them began to manifest. All of them. They were beating up people in the program. Running up and down. Oh, thank God for the anointing. You must learn how to carry the power of God. It's not just in things. He lives in you. He lives in you. His influence can be cast on a handkerchief for a moment, but he lives permanently inside of you. His influence can be cast on an oil for a moment, but come on, you are God's residency. Hallelujah. He lives in you. You are God's residential house. He lives in you. He walks in you. He talks through you. He moves around through you.
Are you following me, somebody? I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. For a moment, his influence can be on this seat because the anointed sat there. For a moment, his influence can be on this handkerchief because the anointed used it. For a moment, his influence can be on an oil because the anointed used it. But forever, he lives in me. Forever, he dwells in me. Forever, he speaks through me. I'm not alone. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, glory to God. So you must know how to use these things. That's why you must never rely on this. You have to be taught. And that's why as I close this evening, I want to say, you already stand, so let's just close from there. That what you find better taught and explained in the Bible will be the transfer of the anointing from person to person. I know anointing can be transferred to things, but that is not well emphasized in the Bible as grace from person to person is emphasized. So what a minister and a ministry like ours should focus on is how to transfer and share and distribute the grace that works in the set man and make it begin to work on different people. I will talk about this on Sunday. The transference of the anointing. No longer from person to objects, but from person to persons. Elisha got it from Elijah. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9, by the time he divided that river Jordan, the people said, the spirit of the Lord has come up. No, the spirit of Elijah has come upon Elijah. Look for that verse. What that simply means is, the anointing that was working in Elijah is now working in Elisha. It was noticeable. So instead of thinking, pastor should pray upon oil and dash all of us, why not think about how I can take of some that God has put in the life of pastor. God told Moses to bring 70 men. Numbers 11 verse 17. He said that I will take of the spirit that is upon you and I will pour it on them. I'm going to explain this further on Sunday. How the anointing can be transferred from a person to another person. How to actually receive such things. Because I tell you, the plan of God is that what is working in my life should also work in your life. It's one of the proofs of sonship. It's one of the proofs of sonship. That the grace of God working in the life of your pastor, that at least a measure of it should be working in your life. So you see, I don't spend my time trying to transfer something to a handkerchief or something to bread or to coconut so that it can now heal people. I'm bothered about filling you with those graces. So God never said to Moses, gather seven staffs and let's put fire on them. He never told them, gather seven handkerchiefs. He said, gather 70 men. He said, and I will take of the spirit that is upon you and I'll put it upon them. That's actually what God wants to do. I will explain this much on Sunday. So your passion, your desire as a believer should be that anointing that God has put upon my set man, that it will work upon my life. That at least a part of it. Because I tell you, if you're under this calling, you have a part in this anointing. That is a portion you have. That's a portion you have. If you're under this calling. So what God wants to actually to do is that at different times, he will take from here and put upon you. I will explain that on Sunday. He will take from here and put upon you. Part of the reason is so that the work will be easier. So I'm actually not bothered about how oil can carry this and we are distributing to people and label it Pastor Henry oil. That's not my concern. I wish that can be Pastor Henry men, not oil. I get what I'm saying. I don't want people carrying handkerchiefs and say, this mantle is from my pastor. No. I wish you can carry those things and when they look at you, you heal the sick. They say, how come you can heal the sick? Say, my pastor laid hands on me. That one is better. Because what you find emphasized in the Bible is that grace can be moved from person to person. Even though it is mentioned that they can move from persons to things, but the emphasis in the Bible is that the grace of God moves from people to people. Jesus left his grace on the men that followed him. Those men that followed him. And I'm going to talk about this on Sunday, just like I started today, earlier when I started this teaching. Part of the way those guys received that I was walking upon Jesus was because they were very available. They were around. Just by their being around him, there was a transference of grace. I will explain this further on Sunday. But your concern should be, how can I take part of the anointing of God upon my pastor? That should be your concern. And not how can he anoint handkerchief and give me. I don't like this. If we don't share oil, if we don't share mantle, if we don't share coconut, if we don't share bread, if we don't share apple, even in all those things. Think about this. If I begin to share apple, how will I share the apple? I will buy the apple from the market and I will speak words, Abi, over the apple. Then I will give you to eat. The way you eat, you have good luck. Those same words I spoke on that apple, I can speak to you directly and tell you that the favor of God is not working upon your life. That should suffice. That should suffice. Are you following what I'm saying? That should be okay. And gradually, as you begin to receive that favor, you also begin to learn how to bring that influence upon yourself and also how to be a blessing to people. So what God wants to do actually in every local church is in this verse. Gather 70 men and I will take and put on them. I will take and put on them. In Acts chapter 6, when they wanted to pick 7 men that would share food, they picked those 7 men and the apostles laid their hands on them and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And then in verse 8, Stephen, a man full of faith and of power, did great wonders and miracles among the people, because he took from the apostles. He took from the apostles. Stop trying to take handkerchief from me. Stop trying to take apron from me. Start taking power. Taking power. Such that when there is a problem, you will learn how to use these things by yourself. And I tell you before I close, there are a few things you can get from the anointed. One of them should be some of the graces that work upon his life. Let me say this to you. When the anointed dashes, I was playing this on Sunday further, dashes you money, he may not have done too much for you. Yes. When the anointed gives you money, he may not have done too much for you. But when he takes of the grace that is working upon his life, you see this teaching I'm doing? This is a ministry class. Everything I've been saying. Sometimes I'm saying you hear the way you go for ministers' conferences. But I know where I'm going, the way I'm going. Because I believe that there is ministry upon your life. And that God will use you mightily. One thing you try to take from me should not be, I wish one day pastor can just call me and say, you see, that my phone I'm using, I take it. That will be an unholy ambition. Now, can your pastor give you things? Yes. And it's not bad. Most times when he gives you things, treat it as a seed that will bring other results in your life. But don't wait for it. And I say this because I learned this a lot. You know, when I look at, I heard many times from Pastor Paul Enenche. He said when Rad Bonke came to Abuja to host a meeting, he was part of people that organized that meeting. You know, one of the pastors around town. He said when they finished, before then, you know, he had planned to take his seat to evangelist Rad Bonke. When they finished, he said, Bonke, you know, the ministry, Christ One Nation, the shared money. You know, Rabboki was such a generous man of God. He will bring a crusade to a place and share money with people that helped him organize it. Normally, others go to meeting at the expense of Nodori. Bonke will come, bring his instruments, do his crusade, give you for money, and go home. So when it was time, he told them, in his words, he said, God forbid. He said, I can't take money from this kind of man. He said, I can't do that. So what he did was, the money he had, he gathered it, went to the man's hotel room and gave him and knelt down and said, pray for me. And the same thing I heard him say that Arabaki told him, that was the same thing Pastor David Obuele of Domino City said many years ago too. I'll talk about more of this on Sunday. Bonky was in this Enugu to do a meeting. And Domino City was just a very small ministry inside one of the computer building in this Enugu. And then the first thing Pastor David Obuele did, he said, he sent his technical guys and told all of them, go and volunteer in that meeting. Because you will need to. We'll do that very soon. Small ministry. He said he took all the money and went, and everything in his account, and went to Real Bunky. And Bunky said, you brought me money. He told him, he said, your people don't give money. They just take. Your people just come to take, to beg. You brought me money. He told him to kneel down. And he knelt down. David Obuele is a very great influence in my life. He said he believes that the major place the anointing for crusades came was from that encounter. He said in a few years from that time, he stood on that same crusade ground that Bonke used and looked around and saw a sea of heads, and the Holy Ghost reminded him that day. Graces can be transferred. The last thing you want from the anointed is money. I get the point. Or oil, or handkerchief, or bread. And our address is more Sunday. I get the point. But the nation said, I can't take one from that kind of man. God forbid. When they built Covenant University, they put him, Polenetia and others, on the board of the university. After every board meeting, they will share money. He said, and I heard him, he said, I can't take money from that kind of man. He said, let him give me the brain that is running that university. What? I don't need that money for anything. He said, everybody you take things from. I get what I'm saying. Now, if they give you and they insist, fine. Everybody should be careful. I'm looking for one day that pastor will just, if a pastor gives you things, thank God. If I give you a car now, thank God. But you see, that car I'm giving you is not up to 0.001% of what you can get from me. Because I can also give you something that will produce a caregiver. I get what I'm saying. As you see, cars, giving cars to people, and most times you don't know what to value. So don't bother about whether I'm giving you oil or giving you shoe or giving you whatever to wear. Right? I just want you to be bothered about how can I take part of this grace. Are you following me this evening? How can I receive from this grace? Lift your hands, pray in the Holy Ghost. Say, Father, I'm open for whatever I want. Because from Sunday we are going to change the gear of this meeting. Lift your voice, just pray. I'm open for what you want to do. Paul told them in Romans 1 verse 11, he said, I long to see you, Romans 1 verse 11, that I may impart on you some spiritual gift. I'm coming to see you. I'm not coming with money. I'm not coming with things. I'm not coming with bread. I'm coming with some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. Pray, just briefly, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray from your heart. Mendalego shobran de kususu betaya. Woo! Predede levrekunda rapatin krataya. Shibelege de lebrande le prunde le candia. O barando jambrende kakambalata. Pray, pray, pray wherever you are. What this prayer is doing in you that is bringing is stirring up hunger. So when the Lord begins his distribution, you will be ready. It's stirring up hunger. The anointing can be transferred. Graces can be transferred. It can be transferred on things. But the Lord prefers to put them in men. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Where you're standing, please sing this song with me. You reign in majesty. If you know that song, just sing wherever you are. We'll ever be. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The name above all name, fine. Sing it again. You reign in majesty. You reign in majesty. And your name,
will ever be the name,
the name
above all name.
Final authority. All of us, now let's do it one more time. Oh, you reign in majesty. You
reign in majesty.
And your name,
and your name will ever be
the name above that. The name above all name. Final authority.
Final authority.
And for thine is the kingdom. Let's sing it together. Sing. And thine is the
power,
and thine is the glory,
and thine is the glory forever.
Yes, 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 yes.
And ever.
For thine. Heavenlander,
for thine
is the power.
The power.
For thine is the glory.
And thine the glory forever and ever.
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let hunger for more. I know there are a lot of things that will be distributed
here in the month of March. Let hunger, pekato shatia, prepare these ones for what you want to put in their lives. Prepare them. Prepare them. Let them be prepared by a hunger, passion, desire. Let them prepare their hearts, that none of them will miss their portion. In the name of Jesus, bring us into new graces, new anointings, new experiences. In the name of Jesus, that all that you've put in our hands will be fully equipped to walk in those things. In Jesus' name we pray. Shout a big amen. Hallelujah. Have your seat. Let's close already. I thought we would be closing early. At least earlier than last week, right? Were you blessed today?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.